you have your Bibles, then please turn to the scripture reading found in Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. I'll read one verse, and then if you could respond with the next verse, and then we will read verse 5 all together. Listen now to the word of God. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And I'll pray before we go into today's message, a new song. God, we thank you for your word, for it is a lamp unto our feet. It gives us direction. It helps us to know where we're going. Lord, we want to be on the right track with you as we start this new year. It's not just the flipping of a calendar page, but Lord, we really want to set our foot right as we think about who you are, as we think about what you're doing. We don't want to start off the year by going to the left or to the right, but we want to stay on the straight path with you. So Lord, help us to open up our hearts to be guided by your word. Allow your word to change us and really move us into a place so that we start at the right place. So we start at the starting point, so we can start off on the right foot with you. Lord, we ask that through your Holy Spirit's power that we would be able to open up our ears, open up our hearts to receive your word. For Lord, a sermon is not just about who preaches it and how it's preached, but how it is heard and how it is received. So Lord, we pray that you would allow us to really participate in this moment, in this time, by opening up our hearts and by receiving your word wholeheartedly. We thank you, God. We trust in you, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I apologize. I'm going to keep sniffling and clearing my throat. I got sick after the retreat that we had, and I've been quite sick this week. So I apologize that I'm going to be kind of coughing and sniffling and maybe clearing my throat a lot into the mic. There we go. Thank you. We can all join together in being in this state. But it was quite an interesting end of the year for me personally as a pastor. I think everyone says this, or everyone kind of knows this. Even my barber, he brought it up to me while I was cutting my hair. He said, "Oh, the end of the year must be a busy time for you." And I was like, you know, I don't know why, but for some reason it always feels that way. It always does feel that way in church. We have tons of services, we have a ton of activities, we have a ton of events, and there's a lot to think about, a lot to pray about, a lot to kind of organize. And for some, like, I could see it in my father, I could see it in our head pastor as well, I see it in myself, but it's a time that kind of just drains pastors, it drains people who are in ministry. And we are almost like crawling to the finish line at the end of the year. And so it's been a tricky period of time. I think I felt kind of tired the whole end of the year and into the upcoming year. That's all to say, but when I got up this morning, just thought of worshiping together, thought of seeing our English ministry members, just to be able to sing songs together, to share the word of God together. It was really kind of a refreshing time for me, an exciting time for me. It's like, wow, we get to worship, you know, to start off the year together in worship. And so that's to say, you are all important. You are all needed. You are all necessary. It's one of the themes that we discussed in the youth retreat over last weekend. But it's something that I wanted to share with you as well. For my journey as a pastor, for me as someone who is preparing services each week, it's important to see all of you, that we are walking together in this. And I think that's just something that I wanted to say at the beginning of the service. This is 1 year since we started the English Ministry Service. I'm sure there are people who have certain expectations of the service. I'm sure there are people who would like to see things grow in different ways or a different pace. But for me, it's just important that we have a group that we can call a group, that we get to see each other on Sunday mornings and to praise together, to worship together. It's been a blessing in my life. It stresses me out sometimes, it tires me out sometimes, but it's just been so exciting to be able to prepare this worship and to worship with you all. So I ask for your continued prayers as we think about the ways in which we need to shape the ministry, the ways in which we need to grow the ministry, the ways, the things, the steps that we need to take in the upcoming year. That's going to be something that's left for all of us to decide. That's not just the direction or just the prayers or the vision of just the pastor. It's for the body. It's for all of us to come together, to pray for together, to decide and discuss together. So I hope that you have a level of excitement towards the upcoming year and the things that are going to be happening in the English ministry. I hope that I can continue to work hard for this ministry as well, and that God continues to guide us in the direction that he wants us to go, and that we have a joint vision, a joint heart towards what we want to see in this ministry as well. So that was that's not the sermon, I'm sorry, but thinking about the new year, there are a lot of thoughts that come along with it. There are a lot of phrases that you hear. There are a lot of things that, you know, come along with the flipping of a calendar page. And so I hear it from our youth group students all the time, but they kept repeating this. I don't know if it was like a joke or if it's like a meme or some kind of popular phrase these days, but they keep saying like, new year, new me. So they kept saying it, they keep repeating it. So every single time they're doing something outside of their habits or outside of what they're used to, they keep saying, new year, new me, new year, new me. And I wanted to share with you something that happened in this past week that was slightly disappointing for me, slightly frustrating for me. As I shared with you in the past, I used to be like a very angry person. I think I used to have like a really bad temper. And in some ways, I thought I like overcame that I was like, new me, this is the new me. But over something so silly, you know, over a slight disagreement that I had with my parents, I like flared up in anger this past week. And I didn't even know that I was like capable of that anymore. But over the smallest things, over something very trivial, I didn't even include it because it's so embarrassing to say, but something so trivial that it even confused my parents, I like flared up in anger. And it really left me disappointed, saying like, man, maybe I haven't changed. Maybe all along I've always been the same. You know, I've been this way. And in some ways, it was very disappointing. And so even this phrase, new year, new me, you know, I'm going to be a different person this year. You know, I'm very skeptical of those kind of phrases. And I look back on it this week with a lot of disappointment. Maybe change is really hard. Maybe it's really difficult to be a different person. And so when I was preparing the message, I was like, yeah, you know, I want to preach about being a new creation, being a new person, a new perspective. I want everyone to feel like they have a fresh start. But I think I struggled with that because I struggled with it personally. I was looking at myself and having doubts about being a new person, becoming a different person. I think in some ways, that New Year's resolution thing, the whole New Year, New Me phenomenon, the idea, I think it's kind of flawed at its core. I think in some ways, a lot of people, they put a lot of stock into that. They want to be different. They want to be new. They look back on their years and they see some of the disappointments and some of the frustrations that they had in the year, some of the sins that they committed, the type of life that they lived. And they said, you know, starting in January, when that year turns, I'm going to be a different person. I used to think like that as well. I always had resolutions, and among my resolutions, I guess the proper Christian answer was always to say that I want to be a better Christian. And I would start off the year with a lot of energy. I would try to do my best to be committed to reading the Word of God. But at some point, I would always go back to becoming who I was. You know, I always settle back into like my habits and my lifestyle and my comfort zones. And it made me wonder, is true change possible? Can you really be a new you just because it's a new year? And so it made me reevaluate those thoughts. It made me come back to kind of the Word of God and think about, you know, what does it mean to be different? What does it mean to have newness? How do you gain freshness in your life? And as I was pondering those thoughts, struggling almost to kind of put those two ideas together, this frustration and disappointment that I had over my return to my old self, while thinking about newness, while thinking about freshness, I was able to read a psalm, Psalm 40, with that kind of, with those eyes, with that tension inside of my heart. And in some ways, this was a great comfort to me. And it's what I wanted to start off the year preaching about. Because this psalmist is not talking about the newness of himself. I'm a new person. I became this. I made resolutions and I changed my life. I wanted to be a better Christian. I wanted to be closer to God. You know, this psalm is basically a person who is admitting that they needed someone else, that he needed the help of someone, that he was not in a place to better himself. This is the psalmist speaking about where he was, what he was stuck in. And in a sense, he's almost passive. Things were done to him. Things were done for him. I waited patiently for the Lord. And that was his job. I just waited. He turned to me and heard my cry. Oftentimes, when we're trying to become a better me, it's not about being reactive. It's about being proactive. I'm going to go to the gym. You know, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to read the Bible from beginning to end. You know, these are the types of resolutions that I hear from youth group students. I hear that from, you know, people around me. But it's not just about bettering yourself. I think part of the freshness and the newness that we feel is being able to realize who we were and where we were, what the Lord has done for us. And this psalmist has such a good idea of what it means to understand newness and freshness. And his point is, this is where I was. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a solid rock. You see, I think what we're meant to do, or what we should be doing in this time, of course we should be looking ahead and looking forward with excitement towards 2020. But a lot of this psalm is written in the past tense. It's written about what the Lord has done. It's about a realization of where you were, who you were, where you were found, what you were standing on. And the reality to be able to admit to God, you know, I was dead without you. I was in trouble. I was sinking. But you're the one who found me. If we're honest about our lives, you know, aside from putting on the Christian facade of trying to be okay all the time and trying to make it seem like we're improving all the time, if we're honest about our situations, our faith lives, oftentimes we find ourselves in ups, we find ourselves in downs. We find ourselves on mountain peaks, but we also find ourselves in valleys. But it's in those moments when you look back and you say, what pulled me out? What saved me? What sustained me? What got me through this year? And how was I able to make it this far? We had a New Year's Eve service. And I really enjoyed the New Year's Eve service, and I really enjoyed the video that we were able to watch together, just to see the progression, right? Just seeing that video and just seeing first English ministry service. I was like, wow, has it been that long already? You know, like, I cannot believe that we already have like a 1 year or like it's some kind of anniversary type thing. And I was like, wow, yeah. And you can recognize and you can see the goodness of God through that. So only sometimes, only by looking back, do you realize some of the things that God is doing. If you're only looking forward, then it's hard to really be able to articulate the goodness of God. It's stuff that hasn't happened yet. How can you really give thanks for things that you're not really sure about? It's based on God's track record. It's based on what he's done. That's why we have hope for the future, because of the goodness that he's shown through our lives. And as this psalmist is kind of in a dark place, in a tough place, he's in a valley. He's in a low point in his life. He's sinking. And the thing that he did was he just waited patiently. He doesn't say, I struggled with all my might. You know, I fought and I clawed and I screamed. I put all of my human resource into becoming a better person, into bettering my situation. Oftentimes, that's what resolutions really are about. Sometimes that's the approach that we take to a new year. I'm going to put my heart into this. I'm going to put my energy into this. I'm going to put my strength into this. But that doesn't pull us out of the miry clay. It doesn't put us on solid ground. At some point, you'll get tired. You'll get weak. It is one of the things that I've learned kind of from Bear Grylls or Les Stroud or all these survivor shows. A lot of times when you're in a situation where you get stuck in quicksand, you need someone else to bail you out. You need someone else to pull you out. And what they say and what they teach is a lot of the effort that you put in actually makes you sink further. The more you struggle, the more you tense up, the more you sink into the clay. You need someone there to help you, to pull you out, to save you from that situation. And maybe that's something that we need to be able to articulate to God. Maybe that's something that we need to admit to God. As we look back on our lives, one of the things that we need to say is, God, you're the one that helped me. You're the one that saved me. You're the one that pulled me out of the clay. And when we think and reflect on God in that way, that's when we get a new song in our hearts. You know, only by reflecting on our past year, looking at some of the things that are really important to us, our families, you know, our jobs, our careers, our children, the ministries that we're part of, our church, we look back and we say, wow, you took me from a place where I was hopeless, where I was lost, where I was so frustrated, and you brought me onto solid ground. You brought me into a place where I could rejoice, where there was joy, where there was thanksgiving. And all of that is to say, and now I have a new song. You put that song in my heart. I think one of the mistakes that we make with God all the time is we try to maintain where we are. And one of the things that I think is really true about my faith life, and I think it's true about faith life in general, is that it's always dynamic, it's always moving. It's either improving or it's decaying. It's either coming alive or it's dying. It's never just standing still. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to approach God in new ways. We need to sing a new song. We need to look at him from a different perspective, a new perspective. Not just to approach him with the same prayers, not just to approach him with the same kinds of thoughts, but the way that we've always worshiped God, the same kinds of things that we've always done in relation to God, but to have newness, to have freshness. But that comes with reflection. That comes by being able to articulate some of the good things that God has done in your life. That is why you look back. That's why you have to take a look into your past. That's what gives you hope. That's what gives you excitement into your future. If you can look at the track record that God has had, if you think about the life that he's given to you, if you think about the fact that he sent his son into this world to die for your sins, that he has taken away the destiny that you earned for yourself and gave you one that you could never earn. When you look back on that, that puts a new song in your heart. You know, I'm a sinner. I stand before you, a pastor, but a sinner. I stand before you as a person who loves God, but sometimes doesn't love to do what God tells me to do. You know, I rebel against God all the time. And I look back on my life and I see those moments of rebellion. I see those moments of sin. But to see the God who still loves me, who still cares for me, who still provides grace in my life, who shows me grace and love through the people around me, that makes me want to sing a new song. It makes me want to say, God, I want to approach you in new ways. I want to take my relationship with you to the next level. I want to grow as a Christian. You see, that's, I think, the right way to approach the new year, to take a look back, to give thanks for the things that have been provided in the year that we've had, so that we can approach him with a new song in the new year, so that we can come to him not just with artificial things that are done with our effort, but really thinking about God and the ways in which he's moving in our lives. If you're able to really see that, you can see that God doesn't do the same things all the time. He doesn't just leave you in the same place all the time. He doesn't just try to help you a little bit. Oh, let me just keep you afloat. Oh, you're in sinking sand, but I'll make sure that you don't drown. No, he pulls you out. He pulls you out and he puts you on solid ground. And when you're on that solid ground, you're supposed to look down at your feet, realize where you were and where you are now. And it's supposed to make praise spring up from your heart. And think about this, the type of song that you would sing if that were your real life situation. If you're crying and screaming out to the Lord, asking for deliverance, asking for help, and he actually delivers, he actually helps you, wouldn't you sing in a new way? Wouldn't you have an excitement in your heart as confirmation that God is interested in your life? Wouldn't you trust him with the future things? Wouldn't you trust him with all the problems that you may face in the upcoming year? It's time for us to take the next level, to take the step towards the next level in our relationship with God. Because the ones who can trust him, the ones who look back, and that's the way that we build up trust with God. Man, I was in that situation, but he saved me. I had this crisis in my family, but he delivered us. You know, I had trouble making rent, but for somehow he provided. These are the things that we look back on, and it builds trust in the Lord. And that's part of taking the next step. That's how when the next time we fall into the next pit, the next time we fall into that next batch of quicksand, we don't panic. We don't struggle. We don't fight for ourselves. We don't try to fend for ourselves. But in that moment, the second time we fall in, we cry out to God again. And God delivers time and time again. We don't look to the things of this world. We don't try to build ourselves up towards this newness and this freshness through strategies, you know, through self-help books and improvement guides. No, it's just looking back on who God is, what he's done for you, and expecting those things in the next year. And when you do that, that really makes a song come from your heart. Man, you're good. You are a good God. You're a good father. You know, that's why for me, those songs are songs that I've known for a while. Those are songs that I've sung many times. But in relation to where my life is, in conjunction with the sermon that I was preparing, you sing that in a new way. When you say, God, you're a good father, that means something new. That means something different. I think that's what it means to have a new song in your heart, to have a realization of who God is and what he's done for you, and for that to allow the praise to flow from inside of your heart. There's so many things that God has done. If we were to list them, we would have to sit here all day. We'd have to sit here all night. And even then, it wouldn't be a fraction of what he's done. And that's what the psalmist is saying too. See, I think the psalmist has this sort of idea in his mind. I don't know what exactly he went through in his circumstance. I don't know exactly what crisis he averted or what danger he kind of was delivered from. But he has this idea of fresh life, a new life, a second chance. That's what I see in this psalm. You know, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was lost, but now I'm found, and I get to speak of these things. I get to sing of these things. I can't just approach the Lord in the same ways after what he's done for me. And so there's an excitement in this psalm when I read it. There's a freshness and a newness in this psalm because this man understands what it was like to be lost, to be dead. But now to have life, to have a second chance to live in this world. And that's something that we should approach our God with this upcoming year. This is who I was, but this is who I am now because of you. This is where I was, but this is where I am going. This is where I am headed because of you. And when we are able to approach the Lord with those kind of thoughts, then praise will come from deep within, and it will be a new song. It will be a new relationship. It will be different in this upcoming year. Let's avoid trying to be better by putting more of our effort in, by struggling more, by fighting more. There is something to discipline. There is something to putting in our effort, but that's not what saves us. That's not what sustains us through the year. It is only through our relationship with God. It's only by realizing and articulating the things that God has done for us that we can approach God with expectation in the upcoming year. Let us pray. Lord, would you put a new song in our hearts as we reflect on the year that we were able to have? As we could come before you with all of our victories, even the defeats that we've had, the moments in which we stumbled, but also the moments in which we got back up. And Lord, as we think about all the goodness that you've provided in our lives, the God that who consistently and continuously gives us the strength to face each new day, Lord, may we come before you with great expectation and excitement for this upcoming year. Lord, because you've proven yourself time and time again, And that's why we're going to sing of all the good things that you're going to do. That's why together, as a ministry, Lord, as a community, we will sing joint together of all the goodness that you have in store for us in this year. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we know that this is not just a one-off thing. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not just because it's the new year. But Lord, you make things new every single day of our lives. And you're going to continue that work through this year. We thank you, God. Truly, we thank you. And all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.